Mr. Bo said, we make a few changes to benching, to davening, that are unique to Shabbos specifically. We had Ritzay to benching. Davening, we have a whole Musaf, and Shafras is different, longer Pesukah de Zimra. But there's one thing which really stands out as far as the unique aspects of the Siddur, and that is the addition of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, right? That Perek of Tehillim, Perek Tari Beis, we say it no less than three times over the course of any given Shabbos, right? Think about it. You say it in Kabbalah Shabbos after L'Chadodi. You say it in the morning in Pesukah de Zimra, and then you say it a third time as the Shir Shoyom, right? And it's very interesting because you don't really have anything else that you say three times within 24 hours, right? And, okay, Alayna is programmed into every tefillah. I'm saying that we change something unique to Shabbos and we go all out, so to speak, right? And it's constantly plugged in. And not only that, it's not a coincidence. The Mishnah says in Tumid, the end of Tumid, it talks about the special songs of the Levium, many of which were, all of which we find were based in Tehillim, maybe not all of them. Hazinu is a song that the Levium sang. That's not from Tehillim. So obviously, it's a portion of the Torah. But this was the Shir Shoyom, right? Shir Shoyom Levium Omrim Beveis Hamikdash, right? We say this also on Shabbos, right? I guess in a certain sense, it's actually a fourth time that Mizmor Shir Shoyom HaShabbos is mentioned in our davening, because this was the special song that was recited by Levim in the Beis Hamikdash. So there's a lot to be said about why this Perek of Tehillim has such a close connection to Shabbos, especially because if you think about it, after you get past that first pasuk, right, that's it. There's nothing left. There's no more direct reference to Shabbos. But let's at least take a different pasuk towards the end of the parak that I think can shed light on Parshas Noach. Pasuk says at the beginning of Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. He was a tzaddik, right? Everyone knows the song, okay? I didn't realize it was viral until someone showed it to me. Okay? Noach told me I shouldn't sing him when he's around. Okay, but Noach was a big tzaddik. It's interesting that right on the spot, the Medrash already starts fighting about it. He was a big tzaddik. Wasn't a big tzaddik. You know, if he lived in Avraham Avinu's time, he would have been a smaller tzaddik, bigger, whatever it is. But he's a tzaddik, that's for sure. But at least we can say that it's ironic that he's a tzaddik that we know almost nothing about, right? He doesn't pop onto the scene until towards the end of his life. At least, you know, in the big picture, it was after close to 500 years, Hashem speaks to him and tells him to build a teva, right? But if you think about other tzaddikim, like Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu, we know why he was so special, right? He had a tent which was open and people could come and Hachnasas Orchem, and he had so many, he was the first person to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know he was a tzaddik, right? Noach, do we know what was special about him? No, we know he learned Torah, okay? That doesn't automatically make you a tzaddik.
What do you mean kind of Torah? That was, I guess, not entirely clear.
Okay, but there were other people who did that. He is not just a tzaddik, he is the quintessential tzaddik. Why do I say that? In the sense that we are told by the Vilna Gaon, Reb Tzadok HaKohen points this out, if you ever want to find the true essential definition of a word in the Torah, the best place to look is the first time that it appears, right? He's the first tzaddik, right? First time that the word tzaddik appears is Parshas Noach. So you think at least we should know something about it, right? There's something to learn from this tzidkus, but we don't. So what makes him a tzaddik? So at the end of Perek Tzadik Beis, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, we have a pasuk, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. Tzadik Katamar Yifrach Ke'erez Balvon Yiske. Let's translate simply. A tzadik, right, will blossom, will flower like a tamar, a date tree, right, which is a palm tree. Ke'erez Balvon Yiske, and it will expand like the cedars of Lebanon, right? These great, mighty trees. So, Pasha Pshat, it means that a tzadik, a great person, flowers and produces fruits and has an expanding impact and influence. Sweet peros, right? Delicious produce and strong like a cedar. It could be a tzadikas also, right? But that's the imagery that the pasuk is giving you. Shesulim beveis Hashem, b'chatzos elokein yafrichu. Right? Firmly planted in the shul, in the beis medrash, in a Jewish community, and branching out from there to all around. That's the imagery that you get when you read the pasuk and you translate it similarly. But I give it some thought. Right? What does it mean that we compare that tzaddik to a tamar, a date tree? What's so special about a date? What about an apple tree? Right? Okay, you want one of the shifas aminim, let it be a fig tree. I heard a pomegranate, you know, there's something about the number of seeds and mitzvos, like, there's something to that, right? Why a date? Why a date? Right?
Is this going to be
So maybe it's not so much about the fruit. You know why? Because think about the second mushel. You have a tzadik atomer yifrach, and then you have ke'erez bavon giske. What fruit does a cedar tree produce? You know?
They're for the wood.
No fruit, right? There are no fruits on a cedar tree, okay? You chop it down and you make furniture out of it, right? Or you build a mishkan, right? What is a cedar tree? No fruits. So maybe the pshat is, it's not about the fruit, it's actually about the tree. Maybe there's something about a date tree. When I was learning in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I'm Kerem Yavne, so we got the full experience. You know, some of you guys learned in yeshivas like in the city, you know, and by Vagan or Yeshiva Kotel. It's great to be near the Kotel, but you don't have the full nature experience of Eretz Yisrael. We had mamish, the sights, the sounds, even the smells of Eretz Yisrael and Kerem Yavne. I'll spare you some of those details, but the visual. Every time I would walk between the base medrash and the dining room, there was this massive date tree, massive palm tree. And I remember when it was, you know, harvest season or whatever, they used to climb up there with I don't know what it was. They used to put these nets around the dates high up, because, you know, the saying, the date doesn't fall far from the tree, was said by nobody ever, because the dates actually do fall far from the tree because it's so high up, right? Apple trees are not so tall, right? So the apple doesn't fall so far from the tree. But the dates are so high up, and if you don't catch them, if you don't put them in a net, they taka do fall very far away, right? In more, I guess, tropical regions, you ever see these palm trees 100 feet tall, right? But what's unique is that it's all bark and trunk and wood until you get all the way to the top. All the way to the top. And then, only then, that's where it's green. That's where it's green, right? I was in Playa Bonita. Yeah, Playa Bonita by the beach there, the palm trees, you know what I'm talking about. From Panama over here, okay? So, mamish, these tall, thin date trees, and the green is all the way at the top. And I think what it represents is a long, long path that only branches out after persistent climb to the peak. We've all heard stories about great people who made a bracha on their mother's milk, and the Vilna Gaon, he knew Shas when he was in kindergarten, and they could be true. But there might be a different type of tzaddik, a more personal, unknown type of tzidkus that could very well be relevant for each and every one of us. Just to explain, you guys are old enough to realize that if you had to try to explain to a little kid, what's so special about Shabbos? So as you get older, the world is a busy life. You go to work, you're exhausted. Over the course of your work week, you're seeking connection. Your head is spinning from phone calls and emails and commuting and stress and work. You appreciate the beauty, one aspect of the beauty of Shabbos, when everything, you can unplug from everything, right? But a kid, you tell him to unplug. Unplug means shutting off his phone and his video games, and it's about what he can't do, right? You can't explain that so easily to a child. It's only after years of maturity and sophistication and experience that you begin to have that understanding of the brilliance of Shabbos and the spiritual aspect of Shabbos. There was someone I know, I met him a few times. His name is Meir Fertig. He was on the Nachum Siegel Show. He worked in radio. Now he worked for different organizations in PR and communication. I think he has a newspaper. You know who he is? Valentina. Yeah, so I think he's like the publisher of the Jewish Star, one of the Jewish newspapers.
He has his own business now.
What's that? He has his own business now. So I went when I was working in camp. So he used to come up for Shabbos. Maybe his wife worked in camp. And I once gave a drush about tefillah. He came over to me after and he said that his Rebbe told him that you can't start davening until you're 30 years old. I said, don't say it too loud. The kids are listening. But he said the pshat is, and it's halacha, right? For a chazan for the Yom Narayim, ideally we try to find someone who's at least 30 years old, unless he's exceptional. But we try. Why? Because someone who's 30 years old begins to have a taste of reality, of responsibility, of people who depend on him, about parnosa, intuition, and stress, and illness, chas v'shalom, and maybe a relative who has passed away. Little kids don't have the ability to daven because they don't have, I say this in, quote unquote, they don't have the need to daven, right? As you get older, the more that you realize you're not in control of life and there are things you need, you want to be in control of, right? So then you know that Hashem is with us. And I need to communicate with him. As the saying goes, it's not about, prayer is not to remind God about my suffering. It's to remind my suffering that there's a God. Right? That's a very deep statement. So these and many, many aspects of our life that we can look back and appreciate better only later in life, right? That's the date tree. When you walk past a date tree, you're reminded that sometimes katamar yifrach, there's aspects of our religiosity, our tzidkus that we can strive for, that you'll only notice the flowering, the greenery, after a long, static, maybe even uneventful or boring endurance. But as long as there's a climb, as long as there's a constant climb, a goal and a pinnacle at the time, even at the top, even if I have to, it takes so long till I'm as high up as the cedar of Lebanon, okay, but I'll get there. I'll get there. I meet guys sometimes your age and even people much older who have a certain cynical approach towards aspects of the Yiddish guy. Not, God forbid, that they're not from and observant and fully committed and believe in Hashem, but they have questions, and all questions are legitimate. But sometimes if I don't have the answer right now, so like I like some negativity creeps in. And okay, you know, sometimes when people don't have the answer, they throw in the towel. Again, not that they don't want to be from, but they throw in the towel from that climb. From they say it's okay if I just stay at a plateau. And all right, this is what it is. You know, some things I don't get, but like maybe I'm never going to get it. I told that story about that Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. I was once giving a shiur with a whole complicated explanation. And someone comes over to him afterwards and says, Rebbe, that was brilliant. You know, I understand it, but like, why do we need the whole shiur? Like, I thought it was Gemara, and like, it's not supposed to make sense. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean it's not supposed to make sense? Like, that's what we're doing here, right? But you, as long as you feel like that's the job of a Jew, to make sense of divine wisdom and a divine religion, so you never stop growing. You never stop seeking the answers. I can tell you so many things that 20 years ago, I had no answer. And if you guys would have asked me those questions, I would not have had an answer. And over time, you develop the ability to articulate it, because you have to answer the questions or interpret it for others. When the questions stay on your mind, then, and you keep your eyes and your ears open, even if you don't have the answer right away, I'm telling you, b'siyata d'shmaya, with God's help, the answers surface. Something as simple as when you're doing Shnayim Mikra, when you're reading the Chumash, you're going through the Parsha or Gemara, whatever it happens to be, you write the questions on the side of the page. Because inevitably, you're going to come back to that parsha next year, and maybe 3-4 years later, first thing that will hit you is, I asked that question? I don't remember asking that question. You know? But sometimes what will hit you is, and answer that question, because it stays on your mind, and it won't land you at a dead end or a brick wall. On the contrary, inquiry, curiosity, leads to inspiration, fascination, and breakthroughs. I was at a shiva house this past week in the community, unfortunately, and I threw out a question to something which I didn't have a full answer to, and I've been bothered by this question for 10 years. Someone came over to me afterwards and said, oh, you know, someone in the community had a very simple, practical way to address the question, which made a lot of sense. I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back, but this is a way to elevate your Yiddishkeit in a way that you will open your eyes sometimes. You'll listen to a shiur on a topic that, oh, someone will make a side comment in the shiur that happens to answer something that was bothering you. That happens all the time, right? Jews were meant to be curious. Jews were meant to be curious. There's an old joke. Yeah. Why does a Jew need to answer every question with another question? You know that joke? Why not? You know? Okay. Okay. So it's a joke, but it's true, because Jews are meant to be curious. So let's get back to the punchline. This is the answer. Noach was a tzaddik. What was the aspect of tzidkus that maybe we can derive from the pasuk? He was a tamim haya bedorosav, the end of the pasuk is. He reached a level of perfection. He reached that tzidkus bedorosav as a product of generations and generations of consistently learning and striving and never giving up. You want to be preoccupied with the mabul, because that's what we have the most detail about. We'll say that was 1 year of close to 1,000 years of his life. He was almost 500 years before Hashem spoke to him, and that requires a lot of patience. But it must be that he was someone who was always on that path, climbing katamar yifrach up to the top of the date tree. And think about it, even more so, he met Avram Avinu, or Avram Avinu met him, right? Which means that there was a 1, 2, 3. Noach met Adam, and Avram met Noach, which means that it was only secondhand that Avram Avinu could be told by someone like Noach, Avram Avinu, you got it. You're right. Ignore all those other Ovdei Avazara. I met the man who was actually created by I met the guy who had no parents, right? It was Hashem, Avinu Malkenu, literally. Hashem created him. So in some ways, if you think about it, Avram Avinu was the progenitor of all religion and all belief in God. You could argue that Noach's Noach's most important contribution to the world was hundreds of years after the flood, right? But because he stayed with it, and he was always seeking more, bedorosav, generations of striving for what was necessary to come to closer to perfection of Baruch Hashem. That's the tamar, that's the palm tree, where it's going to be a lot of bark and wood and dry and boring until you hit the top, and that's where the flower, the greenery, the fruits, and the katamar yifrach is found. And just to conclude, that's the end of the pasuk. Odinuvun beseva. If someone works on that, odinuvun beseva deshenim randim you. Doesn't matter how old he is. It's not just about 20-year-olds. It's about 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds and beyond. At every stage in life, this is the fountain of youth. Because if you're always looking to learn more and accrue and build on what you've already asked or discovered, you will always be young. That's what the pasuk says. Od yinuvun beseva. Even at seva, at an old age, you'll still be fresh and excited and vibrant. Lahagid ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lo v'asbo. Because you always have lahagid. You'll always have something to share with your kids, your grandchildren, anyone who will listen. Ki yashar Hashem, the truth of Hashem's Torah and belief in Hashem, which is really the purpose of why we are here on this world. That's a pshat, Rabbosai. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.